over the next 2 days, today and tomorrow, and hopefully we'll see how things go for Friday, I'd like to do two sugyas in the Gemara. We're not going to get to Halacha L'maisa, because today's days are dedicated to Gemara, but I want to do two sugyas that are integral for our understanding Halachos about the Kosel, and understanding about how we treat the Kosel, and how we approach it in general. And there's two very different sugyas relating to the Har HaBayis. And we're going to start with one today, hopefully do another tomorrow, and then maybe on Friday we will discuss some Halacha L'maisa regarding nowadays and how we approach and how we conduct ourselves near the Kosel in Yerushalayim. The first sugya is the issue, relates to the issue of not going on Har HaBayis, but regarding touching the walls of the Kosel. And if you've seen before, people who will get very emotional and then maybe they'll stick their hands in the crevices of the rocks of the Kosel, sticking their fingers in between that area, and perhaps that raises an issue regarding, is that considered entering the Azara? This is assuming that the place where we stand, the Kosel, is opposite the Azara of the Beis HaMikdash, which is not our discussion for today, but those Achronim and those Poskim nowadays who discuss this issue, some of them assume that that is the case, and therefore they raise the difficulty of this practice of putting one's fingers inside the crevices of the walls of the Kosel, of that entire wall that people will walk and take tours on. And for that reason, perhaps, not necessarily, one should have to be careful about that. We discuss the issue of bias, mixas, shma bia, that partially entering into the walls of the Azara of the Beis HaMikdash is considered itself to be entering into the Beis HaMikdash, and how that is relevant to us. Many poskim don't think that there's an Isser Kares to go on Har HaBayis itself. The Avinezer says there's no Kares for entering the Har HaBayis. The Kares is only for entering the area of the Azara. Okay, and you have to differentiate it. No, and that's one of the big discussions nowadays is where is the Azara and where is not the Azara. The Avinezer's Tshuva discusses placing notes in the Kosel on the issues of Bias Mixas. We're going to discuss the general issue of Bias Mixas today, of partially entering the Har HaBayis, or partially not answering the Har HaBayis. So let's begin. The main Gemara where this is on Zvachim on Beis on Beis. The Gemara says, Amar Ula, Amar Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish said, Tamei Shehichnas Yado Lifnim, person who is impure, and he enters his hands into, towards the walls. Now that could either mean into the wall, or it could mean if you have a gate, and there's a wall by the gate, you put you're standing on one side of the gate, and you stick your hand to the other side of the gate. We're going to see why that might be relevant, and why someone might want to do that, and not just to have fun and games, why someone might want to only stick parts of their body through. And he brings a source, okay? Because the Torah says, Shneamar, the person gets malchus for doing this. The Torah says, Shneamar, b'chol kodesh lo siga, in anything that is holy, you shall not touch. Okay, siga, the shorish gimel ayin, means to touch. Makish bia l'negia. And the Torah makes a connection between the concept of entering and the concept of touching. Makish bia l'negia. Ma negia b'miksas, shma negia. Just like if you partially touch something and you're impure, if you're impure, to partially touch something. If you touch it, you're touching. If you don't touch it, you don't touch it. So just like if you partially touch something and you're impure, that would be a violation of the Isser D'oraisa, of making something impure. Af bia b'miksas shma bia. So too, partially entering into a place of the Beis HaMikdash where you're not allowed to go because you're impure, and you do it anyway, and you partially enter, is as if you fully entered. Okay, that's the Gemara.
What's an example of partially touching something?
No, that's the point. There's no such thing as partially touching something. So just like the only way you could touch something and violate the Isser of making something Tamei in the Beis HaMikdash, so too, there's no such thing as partially entering, says the Gemara. When you partially enter, you stick your hand through the walls of a place you're not supposed to go, it's as if you are entered. There's no, as they say, you can't be kind of pregnant. Either are or you're not, and there's no in between. And that's the Gemara. For example, this would raise the issue of putting your fingers into the area of the kosel, assuming that you would be entering the Azara in that way. Let's look at Tosos and Shavuos. Tosos and Shavuos says something which is obvious to us, but we just need to see it inside so it's very clear. Tosos and Shavuos in Zayin Aleph, Dimaskel Tala Atzmo, he says, Isvarim de Garsi Avir, Azara ka Azara. This is regarding a different issue regarding whether the air around Yerushalayim is Kodesh or not, regarding issues of Pesach, of Korban Pesach, and Maaser Sheni, which is not a discussion right now. Pesach and Maaser Sheni is an entire different issue regarding the air. But nevertheless, it says, look in Zvachim, Daf Lamed Beis, Amar Tami Shechlis Yad Lefnim, Chayv Dibias Mixa, Shema Bia, Uparakola Psulin, Mean Nami Amar, Bia Amar to Bia Mixa, Shema Bia, and if you're going to say that partially entering is considered fully entering, Heichi Mayo Yadea Bahonas. Now, we're going to see that it's going to become relevant too when a Mitzora needs to be Mitar himself. And there might be and his ability to enter the Beis HaMikdash, now he is Tameh yet, we're going to get to stages of Tumah, he is Tameh. How can he walk into the Beis HaMikdash to be Matar himself? Yes. He's Tameh. So one of these things that are suggested are that he stands outside and he sticks his body in so the Kohen can greet him there. Why can't the Kohen come out to him? Because there's blood, and the blood that the Kohen needs to use is Kodesh, it can't come out of the walls. So we ask him to stick his arm in, and then the Kohen will then take care of the rest. And this is the key line. Mashma de avir nami niskadish. Okay? Tosus is saying something which seems to be obvious to us, but Tosus just needs to say it so it's clear. Not only is the ground of the area of the Beis HaMikdash considered holy, but the air above it is also holy. And for that reason, not only is it an issue of walking on the ground of partially entering, but even when you put your hands through the air of the area of the Beis HaMikdash, it's also going to be considered holy, and therefore, a Bias Mitzvah would also apply to the air. Now again, intuitively, it seems to be obvious, but we just wanted to put it in a context that Tosa says it very, very clearly. It seems to be clear from this Gemara that the Gemara brings a pasuk that the issue of Bias Mitzvah Shema Bias Din D'Oraisa. But we're going to see it's not so clear according to everyone. Let's look at the Rambam in Hilchos Bias Mikdash, Gimel Yilches, and the comments of the Ravid. The Rambam says, V'chein tamei shehichnes yado lemikdash, makin oso makas mardus. The Rambam is difficult because he says that someone who's tamei, who enters his hand into the area of the mikdash, gets makas midurabana. But this is clearly an issur d'oraisa. So what's the Rambam doing? And the Rambam goes on to say, "B'chol tamei ba'av me'avos hatumos shall divrayim, and a person is tamei derabanan, v'sha'achlo ochlin tmeim, v'shasa mashkin tmeim, v'nechas l'migdash." A person becomes tamei through eating or food, and he goes into the mikdash, b'meiz it on purpose, kodem she'yis bol, before he goes to the mikvah, machnaso machas mardus. Okay. So let's there's a typo in the printing over there. The Rambam clearly says what? This is a din d'rabbanan. The Rambam is very difficult because the Gemara says Shina Amar, it brings a pasuk. So how are you going to tell me it's a din d'rabbanan? So the Ravid raises this issue because it's a very easy thing to bring up. Amar Avram Shmaisim Dizvachim Kasha Le'Adu'ula Amar Rish Lakish Tamei Shehechnas Yadol Lebeitash Lok Rabin and Hassam Asa Sheish Bokares. This is clear. Asa Sheish Bokares. So how could the Rambam say that this is a din d'rabbanan? So there are two answers. There's the Akhordim have an approach, but I think the Kesef Mishnah approach is really the most simple. So let's look at the Kesef Mishnah. V'chein tami shechnes yado l'mikdash, makan oso, makas marjus. Reish perek gimel d'zvachim, amar ula, amar reish lakish, tami shechnes yado l'fnim loka. First six hands, sorry, gets malkas, debia b'mikdash, shma bia. L'inyan malkas. Avalo l'inyan kares. This is regarding malkas, not regarding kares. U'basar hach yaminan. So he says, what's the issue? Later the Gemara is going to say, Ki asa ravin amar rabbi bahu l'inyan tamei shenaga b'mikdash. Someone who's tamei, who touches the mikdash, it's mar. And that's what it's talking about. Perish Rashi, lo yalef reshlakish malchus mayahu kra. Rashi says reshlakish doesn't really learn out the issue of malchus from that pasuk. Elo l'tamei shenaga b'mikdash. Really, the pasuk is only talking about someone who touches. And the drasha is not a real drasha. Below Iri v'bias mikdash klal. And the Gemara brings the machlokes whether that pasuk of b'chol kodesh lo siga is talking about the din of bias mikdash for mikdash, or it's talking about touching. And
touching what? Touching truly.
They're making things tamei. So that's the machlokas. And since it's a machlokas, the sover rabbeinu, since the Rambam sees this machlokas, the came to Rabbi Abahu, lo are your shlakas bias mikdash, that the pasuk is not saying Rabbi bias mikdash klal, ein alu lechayvo malchus mishum bias mikdash. We cannot give a person malchus because of bias mikdash b'mikdash. Kevan to plug sahi, because it's machlokas tanayim. Umihu midarabaran meseisar. But, says the Kaz Mishnah, everyone's going to agree that at least it's us midrabanan to go into the base of Mikdash, the mitzvahs, if you're Tameh, and therefore the Rambam will at least give you Makas Mardas. So the Rambam seems to be not deciding like the Machlokas in the Gemara, and he says, since I can't decide the Machlokas in the Gemara, at least they're going to get Malchus Darabana.
Why would you invoke Sopek Deraisa
Lachomra? Sopek Deraisa Lachomra. Well, the one opinion is saying it's not a Deraisa. So I can't invoke Sopek Deraisa Lachomra. If everyone agrees to Deraisa, so then I'll say something Deraisa Lachomra.
But whether it's under the question.
We say that in like how you behave, but I don't know if we say that in terms of the punishment.
And the punishment. True. But nevertheless, the Rambam is clearly saying, you know, I don't want to enter myself into this machlokas, and for that reason, we're not going to give you a machlokas d'oraisa. There is one opinion in the Achron that says the Rambam actually holds the d'oraisa. The Rambam just has a funny lashon. The Marchashas and Chelach Aleph, some days, enough days, so the Rambam does hold the bias mikdash is us d'oraisa, because really this is chatzi shir. You're only partially answering the Chatzis here is Asur Min HaTorah, and he has a whole little explanation for why he gives Makas Marjus, but Be'etzem, the Isser itself, is, this is a race of the Sfas Emes, and his Chidushim and Zvachim also seems to imply such a concept. The Rambam holds it also, Chatzis here Asur Min HaTorah, and therefore they would say in that path. Again, the simple reading of the Rambam seems to be that this is Asur Min HaTorah. There is a chakira in the Achronim regarding how we approach the aspect of bias mikdash. Is bias mikdash in itself viewed as a complete entering, meaning going half in is viewed itself as 100%, or is that the half entering of bias mikdash itself a special chiddush, a special chiv? Okay, the concept of I'm only doing half. But do I view that half as fully entering, and that's why it's usher? Or is the Torah mechadish to us a new din? A new din that entering half, even though you're not going all the way into the Beis HaMikdash, is usher. And we need to understand this chakira. First, we need to do some background. Okay? I don't want to say there are three levels, because then three levels are necessarily dependent on each other, but are three stages regarding a person's tumah. The first stage of someone who's tumah. A person who's tumah is going to remain in a state of tumah until he goes to the mikvah. Okay, the second stage is someone who went to the mikvah, but night hasn't fallen yet, because it requires the night to fall on the last day of his tumah for him to be tumah. That person is called a tefillah yom. And his tumah is lessened, but his full tahara comes once the sun is set on the day. And he's considered tahor regarding some things, like chulin, maaser sheni, paraduma. In all those areas, such a person is considered tahor. But he's tameh regarding aspects of truma, kachim, and entering the Beis HaMikdash. That's a tful yom. He went to the mikvah, but the day hasn't ended yet. The next stage, which is a little bit more lightened, is someone who went to the mikvah and the sun set, and his days are numbered, but he didn't bring a korban. And that person is mechusar kippurim. And he is clean regarding zav, and a metzorah, and a yoledus. All those people are considered clean, but they're lacking some aspect of kapara from the korban. But the one thing the person can't do is handle kachim. Okay, so we have those three stages. The tful yom is missing the ending of the day, and the mechusar kippurim is missing the korban. So the din is that a metzorah he needs to go into the Beis HaMikdash, so the halacha is that his ability to enter the Beis HaMikdash as a mitzorah, even though he's not fully Torah yet, allows him to enter. Okay? It allows him to enter. However, the Gemara Yevamos and Dav Zayin
to bring his korban.
To bring his korban. Okay, you need to bring this korban. He's allowed to enter because he has no other choice. He has no choice to enter. The Gemara Yevos and Dazayin and Lebeis discusses in the major topics of Esrei Dochalosa, say, discusses the following issue. Let's say I have Mitzora, but that Mitzora is also a Balkari. So, and he needs to bring his korban. Now the Balkari can't come in, but the Mitzora is allowed to come in according to the Torah because he needs to offer his korban. So what should he do? He has the heter to enter as a mitzora. Should that heter to enter as a mitzora push everything all the way through, and even though he's about carry, he should be able to walk in? Or should he say no? And the Gemara quotes Ula. Okay, Ula is on the second column. The one you wrote Zion on the base. But Amar Ula, Ma Tam Poil V'Hutter L'Tzaroso Hutter L'Kruyo. So since the person is allowed, the Gemara says that such a person is allowed to stand outside and stick his arm in, and the Kohen can do the dripplings, the dripping of the blood, the blood that's necessary to be mitzara the mitzora. But he can't enter all the way in. Okay? And what's the reason? Why should he not be able to enter in at all? Even though there's an ister to enter as a balkari, at least, says the Gemara, we'll let him stand outside as a balkari on a mitzora and stick his arm in, and the Kohen will do whatever he needs to do with the blood to make him pure. But we're not going to let him go all the way in. Only go impartially. And Tosus and Yevamos raises this question. Why? Tosus says, V'amar ula matam, perish, kevan de bia b'miksas shmabia. Since partially entering into the Beis HaMikdash is considered as fully entering, matam hetiru chachamim lahaknis yado. Why did the chachamim allow you to enter your hand, lebahonos, regarding the sprinklings of the blood? V'im tomar, and if you'll say, v'kemen d'shma bia, since partially entering is fully entering, v'afi l'hachi shari mitzah, so even so, they allowed you to enter partially, mishun d'yafshar, b'inyan acher, imken kulon amri l'shtari, says Tosfos. If so, he should go in fully. If I'm giving you a hetzer to go in partially, and to stand on the outside and stick your arm in, for bias mitzvahs, so go all the way in. If bias mitzvahs is considered as just fully entering, so what's the difference? Stand outside and walk all the way in. I have a hetzer to go in because I'm a mitzora, even though I'm a balkari. Go all the way in. What's the difference? As we said before, you're either pregnant or you're not pregnant. You're not half pregnant. So go all, either you have a hetzer to go in or you don't have a hetzer to go in. So what's the din? So Tosfos gives two answers. The Yesh Lomar, Delo Nicha Sheyidcha Bias Kulo. It's not appropriate to allow. They don't want to allow everyone to go, everything to go in of the person's body. Just siv badrei v'hamigdash lo savo. That he says in the Torah, he can't go into the base of migdash. Aval bia b'miksas lo siv badrei. It's not mefurish b'kra. It's not written out clearly in Sukkim. Ela mehekesh. It's based on the hekesh regarding the words of siga and bia of touching something and making it tamei and entering the base of migdash while you're tamei. Gmarle, it's learned from Hekesh, Ula. Hasam, over there. Ma negiya b'miksas shma, negiya afbiya b'miksas. And that's Tosus' first answer. Tosus makes an assumption that there are different levels of dine de oraisa. That there are dinim that are mefurish b'kra, things that include Yahweh Sukkim. Okay, Tosus, lo shema sa gabi b'chaledi mo. Don't cook a calf in his mother's milk. Can't cook meat and milk together, okay? That's mefurish b'kra. I don't need anyone to figure that out for me. But I do need sometimes Chazal to explain to other drushas of the Hekeshim. And when Chazal uses a Hekesh or a drusha or different midos learned out from the Torah, so those seem to be a lesser level of a din. Okay, it's a unique idea that something can be a lesser of a d'oraisa. We have concepts that appear in similar areas also. We have, for example, the Taz has a famous din in Siman Kuf Yud Zayin regarding selling things that are asur b'hana. The Taz says that whenever there's something that's mefurish b'kra, something that's clearly written out in the Torah, Chazal can never come and say that the din doesn't apply anymore. They can't uproot the din. If it's something that's clearly written in the Torah, if something is not clearly written in the Torah, it's based on drashos, then Chazal can sometimes come and say that this din doesn't apply anymore in this situation. Okay, but if something is clearly written in the Torah, for example, the Torah says you're allowed to sell certain animals that are usher to get hana from it, so you can't make a gzeira to say that it's usher to sell certain animals, because the Torah says you're allowed to. And for that, we see also another case where things are, have a different stance from the written clear in the Torah. The Prima Gadim in a few places, especially in the Psicha Kolelis, to the Prima Gadim and other places, Shulchan Aruch brings a similar idea regarding an asmachta. That an asmachta is sometimes whether the question is whether it's dindar rabban, dindar reis, the machlokes in the Rambam, the Ritva, and how we approach it. But the Prima Donna says that regardless of the fact, if I have a dindar rabban that's based on asmachta, it's stronger than a regular dindar rabban because it has some sort of source in the Torah. So it's clearly some sort of hierarchy regarding the mitzvot, whether it be dinah or reis, dinah or bun, regarding how clearly it is written in the Torah. So that's the first approach of Tosfos. Second answer of Tosfos. Ve'od yeshlomar kevan de'efshar ayzei bia b'miksas.
And the dinah rabbanan is stronger than the reis,
though. No. There are certain dinah rabbanan, if they have an asmachta, and they're based on psukim in the Torah, so they're stronger than other dinah rabbanan. Meaning there's, I'm just saying there's...
Is that because we say it's Torah Moshe B'Sinai and there's no machloket, and therefore the pasuk is just attached to it to give it legs to stand on?
And
the reason the Rabban Zavur goes there because protection?
Yeah. I think what you're hinting to is the machlokes between the Ritva and the Rambam. The Rambam says that clearly in his hakdama to Torah Shebal Peh, the Rambam says that an asmachta is an asmachta. The rabbis means what the word means to be so much felina. The rabbis had a din and they kind of hung it on the pasuk. Okay, that's the opinion of the Rambam. The Ritva in Rosh Hashanah calls out the Rambam and he thinks the Rambam is terribly mistaken. He thinks it's borders on heresy to say such a thing, that the rabbis are just making up dinim without anything to base it on, and he says that really asmachtas are hints from a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the Torah for the rabbis to know what to do. It's kind of like little secret messages to the rabbis in the Torah to help them decide when certain exist. And he discusses why didn't Hashem just say clearly out. I don't think that this is entering into that arena. I think that the Prima Gadim would say that even the Rambam would hold that Dine Durabana having a smacht are stronger. I'm not sure why, but I don't necessarily, I just think that there's a hierarchy based on what's more clearly written in the Torah. Having to do with, this is the Devar Hashem, and the more clearly it is related to what's written in the words of the Torah, so the stronger it is. That's what I think.
I have another example of that. When the din of Hocheyach Tochiyach, whether it's Mechush B'Torah or not Mechush B'Torah, the requirement to warn somebody that they're doing something wrong. The classic, and Mechush B'Torah there is written, it's founded in Yom Kippur, in Hilchos Ha'Seder Yom Kippur, with regard to the notion that didn't work until Shkiyah. So there, it says Mechush that it is, this distinction between things that are specifically written in the Torah and things that are derived from Torah, even though they're Doraisa, even though they're the real Doraisa.
So again, exactly, distinction again between things that are more clear and things that are based on justice. So Rav Elchanan in the Kovetz Aras, which we brought over here, notes these two answers of Tosfos, and he says these two answers of Tosfos are predicated on two different assumptions. Says Rav Elchanan, V'chiluk bein shnei ha'tirutzin. What's the difference between the two answers? So this is the Kovetz Aras, Simin Yotes, Chiluk Aleph.
We
didn't read the second answer of Tosfos. Okay. Va'od yeshlomar kevan de'efshar al pi al day bia b'miksas im yikanes kulo chay miyudei tohava haya lo derech tzara uva lo barucha. Tosfos says that since the ikar din of getting what needs to be done for this mitzvah can be fulfilled through bias miksas, to take advantage of this din and to go all the way in would be inappropriate. Similar to what if someone finds themselves tameh in the Beis Hamikdash and they can go out through path A, which is short, or path B, which is long, and the person takes the long way, it's just wrong. Why would you take advantage of the situation you have and to go out in the more inappropriate way? So in this case also, a person needs to do what has to be done. So do it in the simplest way. Don't push all the way in and take advantage or walk around the Beis Hamikdash lollygagging while you're tummy. Go in partially, do what you have to do and get out. But don't run all the way in and take advantage of the heter that you have.
It's almost like a question of chutzra and chutzra.
Oh yes, well,
sort of.
This is the sugya of Ethe Dochalos, I say, which is supposed to be discussing. Right. So the same concept over there. So Rav Chanan says, based on this answer, V'chilek bein shnei terutzin, to a terutz rishon habias mitzvahs shma bia. According to the first answer in Tosos, regarding the power of things written in the Torah, bias mitzvahs is shma bia. Ein hachiv al hamitzvahs mitzan asma. There's nothing special about the bias mitzvahs itself. Alam yishum denechshav ki'ilu ba'akulo. It's as if you're entering fully yourself. V'ein hevdo bein machnas etzba l'machnas chamish etzbos od nechnas kula. Okay? Tosa's answer, saying that there's a chiluk between a d'oraisa, which is clear, not clear, has nothing to do with the way you enter. It's totally based on drushas. Okay? There's no difference between it. Partially entering is, I would say, it's like, it's all as if you all the way went all the way in. It's like one versus two. It's not half versus one. It's one versus two. One iser, and you're going all the way, it's number two iser. There's no difference between them. Okay? It's as if when you went in partially, it's as if you went all the way in. The teretz hasheni hachiv al kol mikdas mitzan atzmo. The lo mishum tavi kiilu bakula. There's something about going in partially, according to the second answer, that in itself is something wrong with entering partially. It's not as if you went all the way in, but the Torah is mechanish a new din that if I go in partially, so that is its own problem. And he says this is similar to a Gemara Sachem. Ubechai gam the pliy Rav Yosi Rabban and gam mixas to hayom kukula. There's a question of Sachem Pei Aleph regarding a woman who's in need and looking for 7 clean days, and things happen where she has an emission of some sorts, and does that ruin the previous days? And do we count? How do we count the days? Mixas hayom kukula. Do we view the days partially as if they existed? As do we view the days fully when they existed, and how do we approach those days? Rabbi Yossi suffered a side with Mixas Hayom. Rabbi Yossi says Mixas Hayom is enough to get you the amount of days you need. And the Rabbanan say it's not. And he says this is predicated on the same thing. Do we view Mixas Hayom as fully the day itself? Or is there a special aspect of Mixas Hayom viewed as its own entity of a partial day? Rav Chanan later in Kovetz Aris has a similar chakira regarding the necessity of cutting rove of the simanim and the animals. The Gemara in Chulin Daf Chafal says that you need to cut rove of the animals. Tosfos there has a chiddush. Tosfos says that v'chatchila you need to cut all the simanim, and b'diavad mi d'oraisa you only need to cut rove. Tosfos is v'shitaso based on Tosfos and the Nida, which is actually getting up too soon. Tosus, end of Nida, says there's a concept of the Eved Nida Oraisa, which is a Chiddush. Why, when it comes to mitzvos, would the Torah say you can do it A, but or A or like A minus, you know, not as good as A. So why does the Torah come to such a concept? The Tosus there has reasons for why, but it's predicated on the same issue, that you can fulfill a Torah commandment in a B'di'evet way. And the predicate over here also, when it comes to cutting the simanim for shmita, do you need to cut all the simanim or rove simanim? And Rav Chanan there in the Kovetz Aros says the same thing, that cutting rove simanim is that in itself what the Torah is saying is okay, and that is its own din, and lichachil you should be cutting all of them, or do you say ruba kukulo, that cutting some of the simanim is just as good as cutting all of them? And he says the same machlokas over there. So just to review again, that the issue of entering into the Beis HaMikdash and the issue of whether you can stick your fingers into the cracks of the kosel, putting notes in those things, are partially based on this issue. And just to understand the issue more thoroughly, if we decide to discuss on Friday, just to see the sugars of Bias Mixos, Bias Kulo, and how that relates to entering the Beis HaMikdash and touching the walls of the kosel.
Yeah.